back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are back, the duo that typically hosts this very program, but not for long, Marty. You're punting me tomorrow, and I'll return Thursday. So big day. This is the teaser. Very, very, very big show tomorrow. So big, I can't be a part of it.
Well, it will be on location.
Like, let that linger for a bit. Like, that should make you wonder, like, hey, what's going on that I, like, can't be a part of this? Which may cause many to rejoice, quite frankly.
I don't think so. The fans yesterday, Duffer, were like, I listen to you and Duffer all the time. That's great. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm missing the show today. They're like, yeah, we're missing it too because we're on the golf course. And then I'll be back tomorrow. And then Wednesday, Duffer is not going to be part of the show because we're on location, mm-hmm. Quebec Center. So that's why it's going to be a very, very big show on Wednesday, tomorrow. So tune in at noon because
we're going to try and get it together twice in a row this week on Thursday, Friday. I mean, I don't know if it'll happen, but.
Well, we're going to give it our best shot for sure. So
I'll be in a different state for Friday's show.
State of mind or state of location? Both of them.
The
both
of us.
After a day off on Wednesday, you'll be in a great state of mind and different state. Well, good. Well, I'm glad. You're about as far west, southwest that
I am now.
You can go.
I am. In fact, I wouldn't have to travel too far to see that actual signage, which I have seen before from my travels down here, where it says, you are in the southwesternmost part of the United States.
Oh.
Yes.
Continental United States, because...
Correct, yes.
If you're in Hawaii, you're a little bit further down, but yes.
Have you been to Hawaii? I have not been yet.
Yes, I have been to Hawaii. I went to Maui and Kauai. So those are the two islands that I did over there. Kauai is very remote. Listen, I rented a Jeep and we're like, we're going to go on a ride. Well, I went to the one side and then the road ends and then you go back the other side. And so, but it was beautiful. It was fun. And Maui was a beautiful place. I played golf the one day in Maui, rented clubs, went out on the course. And it was back when, you know, you had the cameras that you had to go get developed, right? So we're talking about like early 2000. It wasn't a disposable camera, but it wasn't one of those film that you put in that were in a round, like it was advanced. And I was just going through some of picture boxes and trying to sort it all out this summer. And I took a picture of every hole from the tee box that day that I played in Hawaii because the scenics were unbelievable. It's like oceans around you the whole time. So, I got to play golf in Hawaii, got to enjoy some time over there, great food. Last day that I was in Hawaii, we're on the beach, and I'm like, man, this guy looks familiar. But what? Wait a second. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger on the beach right there. And he was literally like just scanning where his kids were on in the water, making sure everything was good. And then a few minutes later, we're in the water. And then all of a sudden, this blonde-haired kid, like 8 years old, flew woo, right over the top. And I'm like, what the? And it was Arnold picking up his kids and throwing them like as far as he could in the ocean. And I was like, well, that's the Terminator. Like if he picks you up, you're going to be going flying. Like it was pretty cool.
Did you hate your 5-iron when playing in Hawaii?
No, I actually had a great, well, number one, there was not a lot of people on the course. So I played by myself, which was, you know, I just flew through. But number two, they got me like these really nice, they were tightless golf clubs, like a whole set. And they know a lot of people travel without their stuff and then they want to rent and they want to rent something nice. Mm-hmm. So I had a beautiful set. I remember thinking when I got back home, I bought the exact same set. I'm like, it was so good over there. I'm buying it.
Yeah.
It didn't work as well over here.
No, it's funny how that works, but it's a nice feeling when you're in the moment and it's just like, oh, I don't know. It renews your love for the game. Now, you were renting Carolina was buying. They're the team of the day, and they purchased for a long time Nick Ehlers, and they also took care of an awful lot of business. Not in goal, mind you.
Nope.
I mean, they did earlier, like before it all, you know, came to be, free agency and all the rest. They'd already locked up Freddie Anderson, obviously. Mm-hmm. Still have Kochetkov. Probably still have, I don't know, at last count, like 12 goalies in the system.
They traded for Caden Primo, so it's they, like, right, and they believed that he could be a factor.
They were feeling like, oh, the stable's getting empty. We better bring Primo in here to make sure.
I know, seriously.
Carolina doesn't require a lot of prep, I don't think, when talking about them as team of the day. Everybody seems to know where they've been, which is always in the playoffs with Brenda Moore as their coach, but they're never able to get over the hump despite these consistently good regular seasons. Now they've locked up young pieces in the last few years. Really, it's been a consistent, like, even though there's been change, obviously, at the GM position, there's been consistency through Aho and Svechnikov, and now Jarvis is emerging as like a face of the franchise, and you bring in Stankoven, and you bring in Ehlers this offseason. You change the defense core in the sense of Keandre Miller is going to be there for a long time. Mm-hmm. What does it all mean, though? I think that's the only real question here for this Carolina team. Like, what does it truly all mean? Do people sit here on July 29th and say, you know what? Carolina, in my opinion, is finally looking like the best team in the Eastern Conference.
So it's interesting because what is the identity of the Carolina Hurricanes? Like, I sat down to do my research on the Canes and their lines and the numbers from this past year. Where can they go this year? And I thought, hey, you know what? The Canes had a really, really good season. Probably the best seasons that they've had over the last few years. 2 years ago, they were 111 points. They dropped to 99 last year. But I still feel like that team that they had last year is a fantastic team. They tried to trade, you know, for Mikko Rantanen. They tried at the time, funny enough, Marty Natchez is and was the only Carolina Hurricanes player that averaged over a point a game last year with Carolina.
Yep.
Sebastian Aho, 74 points. He didn't get to a point a game. Seth Jarvis, 32 goals, but not a 60-some points. Marty Natchez was their best point producer. They traded him to Colorado to get Mikko Rantanen. Rantanen was traded to Dallas for Logan Stankoven. Stankoven signs a long-term deal. And I'm like, they keep just plugging along. But if I was to answer what is the identity of the Carolina Hurricanes, I would say hard to play against, right? Defensively responsible. Well, you know what? They were ninth in goals for last year, and that's with a 25th overall power play. Imagine if their power play was top 10. They would have been top three in goals for. They can score. They have the players. Aho, Svechnikov, Jarvis. They've got a really good, like, nucleus of players that can score, but it's still not their identity. It's still, I believe, Rod Brind'Amour and the way that they play, and to be hard to play against is what Carolina is building on. But they are a team that have a lot of talent.
Their depth scoring should be the best in the league.
Yes.
Now that Ehlers is there.
Jackson but, Blake is a
well,
guy.
Well, this is the thing. Like, that's what I'm getting at. Like, when you look at who they are, what they have, like, get used to it. Everybody is signed forever. Aho, Ehlers, Svechnikov, Jarvis, Kotkaniemi, even Taylor Hall got 3 years for crying out loud. He's barely played for them. You still have Jordan Martinook and Jordan Staal for two more years, despite, you know, Stahl's advanced age. Martinook's not that far behind him.
Hey, Eric Robinson's got 4 years. He had 31 points last year.
Last year, like, obviously one of my top five players in the league, not statistically, one as far as players I like, Will Carrier, right?
Yeah.
Got 6 years last year. Six. Yep. Yep. So now you got him and Robinson and Blake and Stankov. I'm not kidding you when I say this is your forward group, like forever, for the foreseeable future for the Carolina Hurricanes. And they have been a really interesting patchwork to a certain extent on their blue line over the last number of years. But even there, you find now consistency with term in Miller and Slavin and Walker, and to a lesser extent, Gostisbehere and Chatfield. Like, Marty, nothing is changing with this group. But no. I led in with it. They also didn't change their goaltending. And while Freddie Anderson could almost have a case for, like, Hall of Fame type numbers if he had all the numbers, meaning longevity and greater health, but like his wins per game played are elite. But does anybody think they can actually take the next step with Anderson and Kochetkov? Are they going to be able to overcome that? Should I even be talking about their goaltending as potentially a concern here?
It is all about health for Freddie Anderson. And I love Freddie Anderson. He was one of those goalies that I thought, you know what, short term, if the Sabres wanted to maybe say, yes, let's bring in somebody, Freddie Anderson was at the top of my list. Mm-hmm. And then he re-signs in Carolina, and he re-signed a very, very team-friendly one-year $2.75 million. I'm like, come on, he could have got $4 million, $5 million somewhere else on a one-year deal. Like, the Sabres probably, and Flyers and other teams would have looked at him and given him twice that money on a 1 or 2 year deal.
He could have got it from Carolina. All of what we just said, they still have over $10 million in cap space.
Yes. Like Eric Tolsky, their general manager, took a swing and a miss with Mikko Rantanen, was able to turn that into Logan Stankoven. But the work that he's done, you know, be able to work a sign and trade for Keandre Miller. Jacob Slavin is thought of to be one of the, if not the best defensive defenseman in the National Hockey League, was 8 in Norris voting last year. Rasmus Dahlin was 6, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about Slavin. Slavin was in the top 15 of Norris voting 6 of the last 7 years. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a consistent defensive defenseman. And I believe that, especially with the Four Nations face-off, everybody was like, hey, he's one of the best, right? So mm-hmm. now you add Keandre Miller. Their defense corp is whatever. Rod Brind'Amour, Duffer, he's going to be entering year 8. He's got a 325, 160, and 49 record, mm-hmm. okay? Of all the coaches that have ever coached in the National Hockey League, he has the highest win percentage, mm-hmm. not point percentage, because Scotty Bowman is ahead in point percentage and whatever, but he has a 609 win percentage.
Yep.
That's number one in all the coaches that I've ever coached. Well, if you coach one game and won, I get it, but I'm just saying, yep, legitimate coaches, he's number one. That's the identity of that team. That's Rod Brind'Amour. That's what he's been able to do. Put consistent, successful teams. And people, again, yesterday, golf tournament, is this the year for the Sabres? I'm like, okay, let's look at the 8 teams that made the playoffs last year. Who's coming out? Mm-hmm. You know, people were saying maybe Ottawa, maybe Montreal, whatever. Nobody said Carolina. Carolina is going to be in the playoffs. Carolina is going to be a top 3 teams, maybe a top 2 teams in the Metro. Mm-hmm. And they're fine. They're safe for me.
They also have, you know, what they hope is that next star defenseman in Alexander Nikishin. Like, you don't want to put you know, too much there, but like, for all the consistency of their contracts moving forward, and we, you know, what just went through them all on forward and defense, the kid is going to be a fascinating watch here. And he walks into a situation, yeah, where they are consistently good. It's a perfect scenario for him. We saw him in the playoffs last year. Marty, I love how they're constructed. I just don't know if they could beat the Panthers. Like, that when you think back to that series, must have been absolutely maddening for Rod Brind'Amour. There were moments where they looked the part.
Yeah.
And then it all just, you know, they would have these windows, these short windows where it would implode. And it was like, this team is better than this. What is happening here? Right. They have a huge hurdle to clear, despite how good they are on paper and, quite frankly, on the ice year in and year out.
Well, so we talk about the depth up front of Carolina and how Eric Robinson and Jack Roslovic, who's not there anymore, but in the season he had, Will Carrier being there. Senko. But if you're going to go line by line, right, and if you're going to say, okay, we're going to look at Ehlers, Aho, Svechnikov, and they're going against Verhaeghe, Barkov, and Reinhart, okay? I'm going to take Florida Barkov line. Yeah. And then we're going to go Jarvis, Blake, and Hall against Bennett, Tkachuk, and Rodriguez. I'm going to go Florida. And third line is Lundell, Marchand, and against Staal, Stankoven, Martinuk. I'm going to go Florida. Every line, I'm going Florida. I love Carolina, but yeah. I feel like Florida add one more at every level.
And then you're going to do the same thing with the defense pairs, and you're going to do the same thing with goaltending. I know.
It's good.
I know.
But is it good enough?
Well, come up with a you got one commercial break left. Come up with a better narrative for Carolina and their hope tank for this coming season. When we come back, Marty will have that answer, verbiage, whatever, here on Sabres Live.